This is interesting. Flash photography is required. How many has ever you've been to like a ride or an attraction or seen the animatronic Abe Lincoln and you know you're not allowed to take pictures, right? I know this generation doesn't get it because we're on like everything. We're on Instagram, Facebook, you know, you name it, we're always posting up. But there was a day and age when you'd have this device. It was kind of squarish and usually it was colored yellow and black. And there was action required. You take a picture and then, can you make that gear? Do you know what I'm talking about? That gear that you twist, you take a picture. And then there was like effort on your end to go and take that and get it developed to get it back. You know, it wasn't just instant. You wouldn't take 5,000 pictures and see which selfie looked the best. It was one try and whatever happened, 3 months later, you'd see. Do you remember that? That's kind of the concept of today's. If you don't understand that, I'm sorry. I remember that. I went through that transition at some point, and I had that, and then I had this little camera that was like super cool, and it was like, and then it would print out a little tiny picture like this big, like the like this big. And I remember I bought it and I was showing my dad, like, it's a picture instantly, you get to see it. And my dad, it prints out and he's looking at it and he goes, so when does it grow? And I was like, that's it. And if you're really cool, you bought the sticker version so you can like put it on things. It was only out for like a year. Do you remember that, Raquel? Okay, thanks for backing me up. That does exist. And that's kind of the concept of the message today, of taking a snapshot as a memory, not trying to hold on to something that comes and fades and goes. And so we're gonna get into that, but I just wanted you to understand that concept. Today, this week, it's all about the flower, figure three, if you look up there. That is professionally done by my wife, if you were wondering. She is an amazing artist. We did one on the first week, two on the third week, and three on the fifth week. So we'll get to the fourth eventually. Three, it's all about blooming. It's about flowers. It's this concept, this idea. I wanted to share something that happened Friday morning. Does anyone remember, like, 2 days ago, Friday morning? I have to ask. Sometimes people don't remember what they had for breakfast today. Friday morning, I experienced something that will probably forever traumatize me as a person. Showed up at this location and sitting there, and I walked in thinking, I got this. I'm super confident. Friday morning, I'm ready to go. I'm going to be the best person here. And I showed up, and I experienced a small glimpse of hell that day as I showed up to a spinning class for the first time of my life, thinking, I got this. I ride my bike. This is my bicycle. I brought it in. I've logged in the last 11 months 400 to 600 miles. That's conservative. I ride my bike a lot. I ride it long distances. So I show up to a spinning class. If you don't know what a spinning class is, it's a stationary bicycle that looks exactly like this, but you don't go anywhere. Someone just yells at you and says, get up, get down, turn left, turn right. And the music is going. And I go and I'm like, I ride my bike all the time. Of course I got this. I just want to have a wonderful experience. And I kind of plateaued in my riding, and I want to get to the next like level. And so I thought, a spinning class. They're gonna kick me into some kind of gear here, and we'll see what happens. I mean, come on. And so I showed up overconfident, a little bit of pride, and the saying pride comes before the fall is very accurate, I can attest. Show up to class, and I'm sitting there, and I go, and I pull out the bicycle, and she goes, oh, so you're new here. And I said, yes, and that should have been my first indicator. Meaning everyone had been there for a long time. I go, oh yeah, and I learned, because I'm young, but I'm not that dumb young, okay? You don't like put all your cards out first, like I cycle all the time. You don't say those things, right? So I just said, oh yeah, I'm new. She's like, well, let me show you how to set a seat on a bicycle. And I was like, oh yeah, you could show me. And so she's setting it, and in my head, I'm like, you're one gear off. because it needs to be at an H, not this letter. And so she's like, hop on. And so I hop on. She's like, oh, it's one gear off. And I was like, I told you in my head. And so she does it, and she gets it all. And so I hop on. She's like, is that a good fit? And your feet just go in this thing. And I was like, oh, really? You know, like, oh, I got this. And then we start. And 4 minutes into cycling class, there's a giant clock above her head, and she's going. And I was like, how long has it been? Cycling class is hard. And I look at the clock, and it's just, I'm like, 4 minutes? That's got to be wrong. And then another 2 minutes go by, and I'm just pouring. Well, I didn't even bring a towel. I was like, I'm not even going to work up a sweat. It's like 45 minutes. How bad can it be? I'm just, torrential sweat is pouring down on the gears, and just, it's, things are happening. And I'm going, and she starts doing things on the bike where I've never used these muscles on a bicycle before. Like, she's doing, okay, now we're starting push-ups, and we're standing up on the bike, pedaling, doing push-ups. I'm like, what is this? This doesn't exist when you ride a bike. And she's like, we gotta work all the muscles because it strengthens your core to take you to the next level. I was like, that's why I did come. And so I'm going and going, and it gets about halfway point. And I'm like looking at the clock, and I was like, I either want to throw up or just leave. Like, have you ever been in that moment where you're just like, why am I here right now? This lady's trying to kill me. So I'm pedaling, and they're doing this crazy thing where you lean forward, and then you stick your back backwards, and you start pedaling. And every time you pedal, you stand up, turn the gear as far as you can, and then go for 30 seconds, sit down, take it to easy, then stand up and do it again on repeat. But you try to get an extra gear every time you do it. And so I'm already at like max because I was trying to show off. So I'm dumb. And so I'm going, and then it gets to the point where I can't even stand up anymore. These muscles are just on fire and burning, and I'm like, what is going on? And so the worst part of it was how embarrassing I was. I was just so embarrassed because I didn't tell you the demographic or the makeup of the class. I really shouldn't, but I'm going to. The class was, everyone was double, if not to triple my age in the class. I was the youngest one by far. And I was the only gentleman there. These ladies were killing it. The lady next to me was in jean shorts and a tie-dye long sleeve shirt, and she was going faster, and I was like, how are you doing this? And then the lights were off, and there was just like, you know, the twinkly lights inside the YMCA, and I'm so glad no one can see me right now. So embarrassed. And I was telling this whole story just to simply illustrate where we're going in this series. We're in fresh series, bringing fresh life. Sometimes we have to do things that brings beauty but also brings hardship in order to get to the next part, the fruit season. See, the flower season, it's wonderful, but there's one thing that happens. The flowers take resources that we desperately need from the tree. They also bring gorgeous beauty that soon dies off. And it's easy a lot of times in our life to see something that's so beautiful, so gorgeous, so wonderful that's right in front of us that we've worked hard to get fade away and crumple up in front of us. And a lot of times we'd rather hold on to that than go into the next season of fruitfulness. And this season, the figure three, the third part of a growth of a tree, a lot of times is the hardest. It's kind of like the stuck phase, the phase that keeps us there. Like right when we flower, oh, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I don't want to move forward. I just want this. And it's the phase that really brings the most beauty and brings the most heartache. It's the phase of when you see things in the natural world come up and grow in front of us, and it's just so beautiful. And for whatever reason, it fades away, or it leaves us, or whatever. And we could be heartbroken over it. Heartbroken over people that we had that we lost. Heartbroken over positions we had we lost. Heartbroken over situations that we just loved and lost. That's this phase. So what do you do? What do you do? Do you hold on to the thing that's no longer there with so much tenacity and so much just grasping onto it for dear life? Or do you let it go naturally and look at the picture, the snapshot, the memory that you have, recall it, and be strengthened again? Flash photography is required. In order to progress past this stage, you really have to rely on the memories that you had and say, man, it was wonderful. It's sad that I had to leave it, but it was wonderful while I had it. Or else we can get in this kind of cycle that we just stay there, that we just stick around. I was thinking about glasses. How many people have glasses or contacts? How many people like have glasses, but just for the looks? Like, there's no lenses in there. You guys laugh, but that's a thing. That's true. And some people are like, hello, that's me. You don't raise your hand. I was thinking about glasses. And if you're, I get them mixed up, nearsighted and farsighted a lot. I was watching a movie once, the guy was like, I'm nearsighted from the far side. But I don't know why that popped in my head. But what's the one that you can only see clearly up close? That's named wrong. Shouldn't it be nearsighted? That is ridiculous. Now we're in a controversial like argument right now. So farsighted is when you can see up close?
No.
Nearsighted is when you can see up close.
Yes.
All right, thank you, fact checker. Nearsighted is when you can see up close. Farsighted is when you can see far. Okay, that makes more sense though. Yes, so I was thinking about this. The enemy is after our vision, our glasses, our ability to see near and far. One of the attacks of the enemy, he loves coming in and trying to get us to remove our glasses so that we can only see things that are near us. Because if we take our eyes off of the future of what God has for us, we'll be stuck looking at all the things near us and just be inundated with that. When we take up the vision that God has for us, saying, God, I know there's turmoil right here. I know there's frustrations right here. I know there's things going on right now, but I can see you have a hope and a future for me. Jeremiah 29:11, there's something good for me coming down the pipeline. It's a little blurry, but I see it coming. It's a little hazy, but I see things lining up. I can see the direction that you're going, God. But the enemy comes in and says, you know what? Did you not see everything that's plaguing you, that's surrounding you? Do you not see all the things in front of you? Don't forget to watch this. The enemy is like this magician saying, oh, don't look over there. Don't look at what God's doing. Look at what I'm doing right here. Look at what's happening in the middle of where you're at. If the enemy can take your vision, you stop moving forward. You start just doing circle kind of things. Vision. Acts 20, verse 7 through 10. Flash photography is required. I had another title coming into this message for a while, and then I went to go get coffee this morning, and I don't know why, but I started thinking about Abraham Lincoln, the Disneyland animatronic, and then I remembered that sign when you walk in, and like the first thing you say, flash photography is not permitted. And then I was like, that's it. That's the message title. It's perfect. So Acts 20, verse 7 through 10. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus. Everyone say Eutychus. Who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." You don't have to worry today. I will not preach until midnight where you fall asleep. In case that was anyone's worry. Eutychus was sitting there. I love this scripture for multiple reasons. We're all going to stare awkwardly at Becky. Right? I was just kidding. I love this section for many reasons. One reason is just the aspect of they're sitting there gathered in the upper room, and he's preaching on what's to come, what's in the future, what's lining up. It's moments before one of the biggest movements in church history. This revival, these people that will spread the gospel around the entire earth is going to happen right after this. They're in it. They're in the middle of it. And good old boy Eutychus, whose name literally means lucky or fortunate. I would say that's ironic, but I've been told I don't know what the word ironic really means. His name is Lucky, sitting on a window, falls asleep, and dies. But it's interesting. He's sitting there on a window moments before the biggest movement in Christian history has ever happened, and he falls asleep and dies off. I think that's kind of interesting, and I think it kind of parallels our Christian walk today. The enemy is after halting us before our greatest movement. Whatever God's going to do in your life next, from glory to glory, from one thing to another, he always makes it bigger and bigger, and the realm of influence. What is going to happen in the next aspect of your life? What's happening down the barrel? Are you sitting there falling asleep? Or are you sitting there taking it in saying, "God, I got this"? I love, just a side check, I want to give this to you because I was so blown away by it, and then I want to continue on. It says, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life," everyone say, "his life is in him." His life is in him. Paul goes down, lays on him, spreads on him, whatever. And it says his life is in him. The Greek word for this is so interesting. His life is in him. You know the Greek word is psyche that they use? It's where we get psychologists. It's where we get the study of the psyche. This word has two meanings. It means soul and breath of God. I was just blown away by this. The aspect, this breath of God, this concept that it's translated from almost like it's being derived from Ruah from the Old Testament to now. It's saying this breath of God, the Holy Spirit inside this young man isn't finished yet. It's not over yet. It's not that he's dead. It's that God still has a plan for his life because the Holy Spirit is still here. I sense it. I feel it. He's moving. It's ready to go. No matter if you feel like you're down and out or you fell out of a window or whatever's going on in your life, whatever has hit you down, just know that Holy Spirit isn't done with you yet. You still got something in you. You still got something charging up. You still got something ready to go. The breath of God is in you, ready to move. I love that imagery. And I recall it sometimes when I'm feeling down or whatever. I just think, man, God's not done with me yet. I got this.
was looking at in regards to blooming and flowering and almost halting in the movement before fruitfulness. Blooming before fruitfulness. I was looking at all the different scriptures and I was trying to really narrow down, like, what does that season look like? What can stop us at that season? To hear me out for a second. If you have a tree, you have the trunk growing up, you have the branches, you have it flowers, they die off, and then fruit comes in. Okay, that's just the natural process of, these are lemon trees, so that's the natural process of a lemon tree. Let's think about this. As God looks at this and illustrates growing to us spiritually, how easy is it when we flower and we produce, we use all the nutrients and the water and the fresh life to produce the flowers? Like, it's painful, it grows, it happens. And then it almost dies off. A lot of times, the branch can almost separate from the tree spiritually. Branch doesn't get an option, say, I'm out for a day. You know, for us, say, oh, that hurt. I need to separate a little bit. We only hurt ourselves. We only disconnect ourselves from the flow of life, of the vine, the branch of God. I was hurt because it was so beautiful and then it died off. Well, that's the natural flow of life. I was hurt by it though. Yeah, but fruitfulness is coming. Yeah, but I want to separate from here. What? You're separating from the biggest thing that's about to happen to your life? You're taking your nearsightedness, you're removing what God's doing and negating all that just to focus on what's happening temporarily right now? I know the blooming hurt and it costs and it did stuff and it was beautiful and gorgeous and that's why you got to take a picture to remember. But it's the flow of life. It's beautiful, but it fades. It's temporary. The only thing that lasts is God and the kingdom of God and our spirits. That's it. And if you separate yourself off, like you were the branch that has the flowers, if you separate yourself off from the trunk that provides all nutrients and life and sustenance, you are doing yourself harm. Say, I'm going to separate out. I can't. God, I was hurt so bad, you don't know. I think it's fine that we have the audacity to say, God, you don't know. You don't know. Anyways, I'm not going to go there. We can separate ourselves out and disconnect. And so I was reflecting on all the different scriptures, and I really came across in Revelation a church in the end times that had just become complacent with where they were at. It's where we get the lukewarm. Be hot or be cold, or I'll spit you out of my mouth. Don't be lukewarm. It's the lukewarm church. And I just want to read a segment from this. I just thought it was so wildly fascinating. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. This is to the church of Laodicea. Everyone say Laodicea. Sounds like a really cool action movie. I don't know. Verse says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover up your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. He's saying three things. Three things of when you feel like lukewarm. Three things of when you feel like you've separated. Three things of when you feel like you're trying to latch onto something so temporary. Three things that God's saying, do these three things to move into the next season of your life. If you're concerned about, hey, I want to be fruitful, but you've disconnected, do this. All right, three things. So write on your paper, 1, 2, 3. Number one, Get your worth from him. Get your worth from him. Get your worth from him. Laodicea was a huge marketplace. They were known for buying and selling and processing. Totally remembering, what's that? Becky, what's that movie? Buying and selling and processing. I don't want to buy anything processed or sold. I don't want to sell anything. Say anything. Yeah. Anyways, whatever. Just had this like image of that. We preached that message like last year. Laodicea, they were famous for being a huge marketplace. They bought everything, sold everything, and processed everything. They were this mega hub where people would just go and sell and buy, whatever. It would just be that. And so it's interesting that God would say, hey, if you want to change your life, come to me for worth. And all these people up to this point in this city have been going to that city to find their worth and their gold. He's saying, you're not going to find it there. You're going to find it here. You're going to find it here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It's interesting. The fire meaning is severe and hard tests of this life and the end of this life. That's what fire represents. It's the testing. It's the refining. It's things that we go through that refine us and strengthen us. The things that we go through that we have to face and we stand strong in, it strengthens us. Just exactly like in the spinning class, I had to go there in order to strengthen and build up myself in order to go after what I want to go after in cycling. Or else I'll just be stuck at the same distance and the same time, and I'll barely increase. I have to go through these tests. I have to do the dumb push-ups on the bike and look like a fool in front of all these people. They can do it way better than I can do it because they've been there for years because they've been defining the test over and over. Is that making sense? Everyone say yes. I just want to make sure you're awake. Don't fall out a window. Everyone say amen? Amen. Okay, just making sure. Second one, get your identity from him. Get your identity from him. Everyone say identity. Another aspect of this city, it was so interesting. It says, get your identity from me, from God. This was the city, they were famous for having these dark sheep that were shiny and black wool. You can only find them in one place, here. It's the only place, if you wanted to get an identity, your outer garment to be a certain specific color, you had to go to this city. You have to go here, and you'd get your identity in your wardrobe from these sheep. Wildly interesting. And God has the audacity to say, get your identity from me, not here. Get your identity. I love this. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings of themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I command you not to eat from?" Jumping down to verse 21. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. It's subtle. It's really subtle. Just grasp with me for a moment. We have one more point after this, okay? This is so interesting. Adam and Eve messed up. So they tried to cover their own sin by going through something themselves. And then God said, No, I have flesh that will cover you. Let me sacrifice something for you to cover up you. Kind of sounds familiar. Kind of sounds what he did with Jesus with us. They just had to say yes and accept it and receive it. Get your identity from God. Are you stuck in a routine where you're trying to prove yourself righteous or holy or through routine or whatever? Are you trying to connect yourself onto the vine and say, I'm going to produce now. I'm going to grow fruit. I'm going to grow a branch. I'm going to do all these things. Or are you saying, God, connect to me. God, I need to grow through you. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. Are you going through this? I just think it's so interesting how these all parallel together. Point number three, last one. Get your eyes fixed by him. Get your eyes fixed by him. The third interesting thing about Laodicea was the water. The water had actually, what is it called? Alum content, I guess, in their waters. I don't know if it's aluminium or something. Isn't that what Wolverine has on? No? Okay. Adamantium. Okay. Thanks. That helps me. Alum, it's A-L-U-M content. Content. There's stuff in the waters that were in here, and people that would go swimming and put it on their eyes would actually help them see better. They would work on glaucoma. It was all these different things. This city actually became the first ophthalmology location in the first century. They were the leading edge of working on eyes. Isn't that interesting? And then God has the audacity to, before that even happens, to say, hey, if you want your eyesight, fix it on me. He has this wild thing of making everything fit together. They were the only ones working on eyes at the time and bringing healing about it. And he said, hey, if you go to the world to heal your vision, you ain't going to see better. Let me heal your vision. Let me show you what's to come rather than the world show you what's surrounding you. Let me show you what's to come. Can everyone stand up? Worship team, can you join me up on stage for a moment? I was praying over this message, and I was like, God, give me the words to say. I want to hear what you have to say for us today. I want you to speak to us, and I want to know what you want us to do. And I had this image of standing here during worship and the Holy Spirit reaching out and just placing glasses on us, giving us insight and vision to see beyond the temporary, giving us this ability through the Holy Spirit to see what's coming rather than being frustrated at what's right now. We're going to go into a time of worship and a time of prayer for the Holy Spirit to reveal vision to us. Here's what I want to ask. I'm going to pray, and in just a moment, we're going to enter into worship. And Sean and Becky, would you be willing to come up here and pray also? And my wife is going to be up here too, the four of us. And if you need prayer, say, man, all I've been seeing is what's around me. I need hope. I need to see. I need to see beyond the flower that was so beautiful last week, last month, last year, 10 years and now. I need to just be able to take a picture of it and move on. I've been clutching at something that once was beautiful. I've been so desperately holding on to that. But it's time for fruit. It's time for fruitfulness. It's time. It's time for freshness. I love this. If you're wondering why we have a series called Fresh, and we have life all around us, and we have these sad plants right here. I've been asked by so many people individually, like, hey, I know we're in a series fresh, but seriously, can we fix these plants? I just wanted something to represent where some of us are today or have been. The flowers were wonderful and beautiful and gorgeous. But it's time for fruit now. Lord, give us the vision. Help us to see what you see. Help us to know where you're leading us. God, I know it can be frustrating that we lost so much beauty in our lives that we've been struggling and using and building and growing into, God. But that's short term. God, those are images that we need to take a picture of to remember as the years go on. But God, bring us the fruitfulness. Bring us the insight and the vision that we need to hold on as our souls are an anchor to the rock, God. We might not be able to see the depths of the anchor and the rock, but it's holding fast. Let's enter into worship. And if you need prayer for vision today, you need prayer for the Holy Spirit to enact something in you to see forward, would you be so bold and come forward for prayer today? Jesus' name.